Colossians chapter 3, the verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Today we continue to look at this house address that runs from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, down to chapter 4, verse 1. We've seen that there are six groups addressed: wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, and masters. These six groups are really paired off. You have three pairs. You have, first of all, wives and husbands. They make a pair. Then children and parents, especially children and fathers. That's another pair. And then there is the servants and the masters. They pair off as well. Now, this order is indicating the closeness of the bond. The closest pair in the home are the husband and wife. That comes first. There's nothing closer than that. Marriage brings a wonderful bond between a man and a woman. And then, of course, children, they come out of that bond, they follow that bond, and there is a bond between parents and children. And this is the next important bond after the marriage. It's close to. Children are close to parents, and parents are close to children. They love their children. But it's not as close as the marriage bond. In the marriage bond, the pair are one flesh. In this bond, the children are the offspring of the parents. The last bond is between servants and masters, and that runs from chapter 3, verse 22, down to chapter 4, verse 1. And this is the much lesser bond of them all. Not the same closeness, not the same love, but it is close nonetheless, and it should still be a loving bond that Christian home should have in these ancient times whenever there were servants in the household. So these three pairs then are identified in the text. We just want to deal with the first one, that is between husbands and wives. Verses 8 and 19, then former text. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that the symmetry here in these verses. Do you see how Paul does it? In verse 18, it's wives, then husbands, then it's husbands and wives. Do you see how he reverses things? Wives, submit to your husbands. And then husbands, you love your wife. At the outer limits are the wives, and in the middle are the two words husbands. Husbands are in the middle, and at both limits then the wives. That's a wonderful harmony in that, and the apostle deliberately ranges it thus because in marriage there should be a harmony. There should be this oneness, just as there should be a beautiful harmony in the home between husband and wife. So there is this lovely harmony in these verses. Wives, husbands in the center, husbands again, and then the wives. He's carefully arranging those words in the phrases. But you'll notice that there is another person in the marriage, kind of speak. You'll see there that he mentions the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. So you see how he arranges this third person in the middle. Christ is in the center. This is the Lord Jesus. Their wives then, husbands, Christ in the middle, husbands and wives. There's this beautiful harmony in the text. This is to bring out the headship of Christ. And under Christ, who's next in the headship? The husbands. So we're thinking of headship in the very center of the home, the head of all, the Christian home is the Lord Jesus. And then under him, next to him, the headship of the husbands in the home, then the wives under that headship of Christ, and under Christ being under the headship of the husbands. This is what the apostle is bringing out. What we're saying is, both are under Christ. Before we think of the woman being under the headship of the husband, we have to think of them all being under the headship of Christ. You see, in a Christian marriage, there should be three persons. There is the wife, there is the husband, but there is also the Lord Jesus. And this is a secret to true harmony in the home. The question is, what place does the Lord Jesus have in it? Is he in the center? The way the apostle has arranged these words to put the Lord in the center, is the marriage revolving around Christ? Do the partners eye Christ? Is the Lord Jesus important to them both? Is the Lord Jesus their Lord and Savior? And they're under his headship. Is his word important to them? His name, is it vital to them? Do they pray together in his name? So there are two keys to the secret of a happy marriage. The first is submission. The other is love. Those are the verbs in these verses. Now let's think about these verbs first of all. The verb to submit, wives, submit yourselves. And then the verb to love, husbands, love your wives. These are the actions that should be taking place in the Christian household. Now, of course, it's not only parents, it's not only husbands and wives that know about submission and love. All Christians know about these verbs. All Christians ought to know a lot about submission. Every Christian. And every Christian needs to know something about love. Even apart from marriage, even outside the marriage bond, even people who've never been married, they know about love and they know about submission. Because you see, they are Christians. And Christians are already under a headship. And Christians are under the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is the head. He's the head of the church, isn't he? He's the head of the body. He has his bride. And he loves her. And she submits to him. So you see, the Christian in a spiritual sense already knows about all of this, submission and love, because the Christian is already married to Christ. I mean, the Apostle Paul is bringing this out in greater detail in the epistle to the Ephesians. The Christian spinster is married to Christ. The Christian widow or widower is married. Every believer is a spouse to Jesus Christ. Human marriage is modeled on that. And that is why Paul puts the Lord in the center here, just as he does in Ephesians chapter 5 and the verses 22 to 33. He deals with it much more largely there in that epistle. He brings it out in much greater detail. He says we are members of his body, of Christ's body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So whenever Paul thinks about marriage and marriage between a husband and a wife and headship and submission, he instantly thinks of Christ and the church. As Christians, we are in relation to Christ, our head. And we know about submission. And we know about love because of that. And our marriages are then to be modeled on that. So as Christians in relation to Christ, our head, we know about love and we know about submission. Let's think about that in just a wee bit more detail. Let's think about love first. And about the love of the head, Christ, the husband of the church. Let's think about his love. That one in the center, the real head, the true head, the head of us all. As head, his chief grace, or what is to us wonderfully sweet grace, the thing about him that is wonderful is his love. That is what a head does, you see. That is what Christ, our head, does. He loves. Well, we have to start there. We don't start looking at the submission. We have to start looking at the love. There has to be love in a marriage. And when there's love in a marriage, submission is easy. So you start with the love. The love has to be present. And that's what is the case in the church. The head loves the body. The head is caring for the body. The head is thinking about the body. The head is always, with its understanding and with its eyes, is always watching out for the body. Everything's linked to the head. The pain that's felt in the body, we know it's pain because it communicates with the head. The head is vital in a body. And Christ is the head of the body, but he is the head of the church as a body. So I'm saying that submission and love are not foreign to our Christian experience, because we know about headship love in Jesus Christ. His great love for us. Christ loved the church. That one in the center of the text says it is fit in the Lord Jesus. That one in the center as head loves. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. That's headship love. He saw sinners in their lost estate. He saw our poor, hopeless condition. And what did he do? He chose us. He chose his people. He elected them. He causes them to be brought to him, to come to him. He draws them to himself. He wins them. And he marries them. He enters into a saving relationship with them. And the Lord Jesus loved the church. He loves believers. That's why he came into the world for them. He was made flesh for you. He was incarnate for you. And we know the story well. It's a story of the gospel. The verb was the whole character and manner of the life and work of Jesus Christ. This verb, love. Christ loved the church as head. And husbands should love like that. And so this is what the apostle is saying here. His great love for his bride. As I said, he brings this out in far, far greater detail in Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives. He says the same thing as in here, but he adds there, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So he's thinking about it. And then in chapter 5, verse 2 of Ephesians, he says, walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us. So this is the headship love, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the heavenly husband, the love of the great bridegroom for his bride. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for his church. And this is a very intense love, and it's a personal love as well. It goes, extends out to every believer. As the Apostle Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me. And in heaven, what do they sing? They sing about the Lord Jesus, and they say, unto him that loved us. This is a great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, about our head, that he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What I'm saying is, every Christian has experienced this love. Every Christian knows what that love is, what it means, what it's like, what it's about. Every wife knows that love. Every Christian wife, every Christian husband, every Christian child, every Christian spinster or widower, or whatever. All have experienced the love of the great head, Jesus Christ. The real marriage, the true marriage. And Christian marriage is just, in a sense, a typological marriage. It's based on the great reality of the marriage of Christ and his church. The first marriage in Eden is not really the first marriage. The first marriage is in the mind and decree of God concerning Christ and his church. That's the first marriage. That's the true marriage. That's the main marriage. God didn't make human marriage. He didn't make Adam and Eve to be married and then afterwards said, well, I think I'll make my church and my Christ like that. No. He said, my Christ and my church is in my heart. This headship to this redeemed people is in my heart. That's what I'm going to bring all things to words to that. And Adam and Eve and their marriage and every Christian marriage thereafter will model that. So Paul's right when he gets all wrapped up with the love of Christ for his bride. The Lord in the center here. Whenever he is speaking about Christian marriage and husbands and wives, he thinks of Christ then, as we are today, the great head, the wonderfully loving head, the head who has unfailing love, the head who has everlasting love, the great head. And all Christian husbands should aspire to that likeness to Christ in that great love. He loves faithfully. He loves covenantally. He loves perpetually. He loves sacrificially. He loves us even when we fail and fall. His love endures through it all. A head does not dictate and force and be cruelly hard and harsh. The Lord Jesus is not that kind of head. But a head loves, rules in love. A head
Christ the head. He loves his people. He carries them. He helps them. He aids them. He shows them and leads them in the way. He engages them by his grace to do the duties required of them. He lovingly leads. Not cruelly. Not with sharpness and harshness, but with gentleness and grace. And that's what a husband ought to be. And of course, this love is reciprocated. The head loves, but the head is also loved by the body. Christ loves us, but we also love Christ. So it's reciprocated. Now, I'm not talking about the submission just yet. Whenever it talks about the submission, and when we come to that, that submission is not a submission without love. Christ the head loves us, and we love him. And part of our love is manifested in this submission. You see, it's a loving submission. We love him because he first loved us. And as Christians, we are submitted to Christ the head. We love him. And we're submitted to him because we love him. His love has won us. His love has drawn us. His love should melt us. It ought to. And the melting love of Jesus, the result of that is this loving submission of his bride to him, of his body to him, this loving, as it were, submitting to him as a wonderful head. And so as Paul puts it in Ephesians 5, verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So in Ephesians, Paul doesn't only speak about the love of Christ for the church, the love of the head, but he also speaks of the submission, the loving submission of the church to him. And that should be replicated in the wives, that submission, just as that love of the headship should be replicated in the husbands. And those are the very same words that he uses in Ephesians 5. We are to be submitted to the Savior. Just as wives are to submit to husbands as their head, so we as believers, the bride of Christ, we are to submit to the Savior. It's the same submission, the same verb. To do his bidding, to serve him joyfully, to uphold him and bring him honor and glory. As James puts it, submit yourselves therefore to God. This is something every Christian does, and that means obeying the Savior. But it also means trusting in him, submitting to the Lord. Now we'll get to these in more detail in the Christian marriage, in the marriage union, the love and the submission. But they are modeled for us. They are in all reality present in the love that Christ has for us and in the submission that we ought to have to the Lord Jesus. And part of that submission is not just doing his will, but trusting him. Trusting in his mysterious providences. You see, the Lord not only commands us, but he also does things for us and he does things to us. And we call that as providence. And some strange things happen to us in the providence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do? We submit. We submit to all his providences and we trust in him through them all. We don't rebel, or we shouldn't rebel, and we shouldn't murmur and complain, and we shouldn't, as it were, behave badly and wickedly in a kind of a mood because, well, these providences are a bit difficult and we just can't understand them. No, it's submission It's trust. And all believers have to do this. Every one of us, as the bride of Christ, have to do this. And we want to do this, and we seek grace to do this. And this is what makes this relationship wonderful. His marvelous love to us, the love of Christ in all his work, in all his providences, even whenever bad things happen to us, we realize that he does it in love. There's a reason for it. And we just submit and trust. So his marvelous love in all his works and ways. And we trust and obey, or we ought to. And we rest and we submit and we wait. All do this that are saints in regards to the Lord Jesus. All Christian men, all Christian women, all his disciples do this in the marriage between the body and the head, the bride of Christ and the Lord Jesus. And what I'm saying is, I know I've been long in getting here, but this is how the apostle deals with it in Ephesians. That ought to be reproduced in a Christian marriage. A Christian marriage ought to be like a little church, head and body. The husband and wife, the head, the husband, his dear wife under his headship, but the both of them under the headship of Jesus Christ. They're also under Christ. And the husband is to have the Savior as his model. And the husband ought to be a loving head of his wife. This is the problem in many, many marriages, that the husband is failing in that regard. That this is the cement to a good marriage. The husband's love for his wife. And so the husband is to be like Christ, loving his wife, being faithful, caring, providing, helping, encouraging, guarding, loving perpetually, based on his choice of her, and keeping his covenantal engagements to her, loving even sacrificially. Loving on to death, and if needs be, loving so as even to die for her, if necessary. When a husband loves like this, he loves like the Lord Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit wants in a Christian marriage. And whenever there is this love, it is easy and natural for the woman to lovingly submit. Who would not submit to such a husband? And so this is a key to harmony. The first key, that's why I started with love. There's no point starting with submission, as if all the cement in a Christian marriage is submission. And very often times that's emphasized, and that's the main thing that's hammered. But I think the main thing that ought to be hammered, if I may just use that term, the main thing that ought to be dealt with, is this business of love. That's the cement. That the husband be utterly and completely like the Lord Jesus. That's what a marriage needs. And whenever there is that, what woman would not submit to that? And so I feel that's the main key. The second key, of course, follows that and from that. This submission. The problem then in Christian marriages, if problems do arise, they are often in these areas. And this is really the problem in the marriages in the world and among the ungodly. They cannot love and they cannot submit. It takes grace. It is no wonder that so many marriages fail amongst the ungodly. Love is from above. The grace of humility, meekness, and submission is from above. Christians have been born again. Christians have the grace of God in their lives. Christians have been loved by Christ, and they have been taught by grace to submit to Christ. So they know about these fundamental activities of love, loving and being loved and submitting. And therefore, Christians ought to be great examples in their marriage to the world of what Christ can do for a marriage. And if the world is struggling in their marriages, they need to see Christian homes where marriages are wonderful. And maybe even by that means, the Lord will bring them to the knowledge of himself. So the world's watching on at our marriages, you know. But as I say, the problem in marriages arises in these areas. The husband is bad or unchristlike. Maybe some husbands are even brutal, more like the devil than the Lord. That's a sad thing. And yet it's not an uncommon thing in marriages today. The wife, on the other hand, in a loving marriage, may be ungrateful and unappreciative. She may not be thankful enough for what she has through the Lord's good grace. A good husband should be appreciated. And there should be that reciprocal response of the bride to a good bridegroom. He loves, she submits to him. So the submission in the text is not submission to brutality and force. No woman is called to submit to brutality. No woman is called to submit to a devil. The submission is the submission in a Christian home, in a Christian marriage where Christ is in the center. There should be no brutality. In a Christian marriage where there's only the Lord Jesus as the center of all in the Lord, there should only be love, kindness. May our Christian men be such husbands as that their wives can easily and gladly submit to them. And may it please God that our Christian young ladies find such men. And it must be their endeavor that before they enter into the marriage bond, that the men that they are going to marry themselves to are such men. You must see a man's love. You must discern it. For if it is not present, it will be a course to disaster to hitch up with such a man. Young ladies, Christian young ladies, look for Christian men who have been taught of God to love. And may our young men too find women that when they choose to love them and to, as it were, propose to them and seek to be married to them, let them ensure that they are Christian women who have been taught through the grace of God and by the influence of the Holy Spirit to have a meek and submissive and gracious nature. So you look for these things before you enter into marriage, and you be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So the lesson this morning is practical, I trust. To think much of Christ's love for us, first of all. Then to be always submissive to him, that wonderful Saviour. To endeavour through grace also to be Christ-like in our love and in our submission to one another. Christ loved, so should we, and we should love like him. And Christ also, may I add, was submissive. He knew about submitting to his Father. And we must be submissive to him. And we have to be submissive to one another in the Lord, in the church. We all have to be submissive. But I'm thinking in the marriage especially, where there is this headship and this love for the bride, there needs to be this reciprocating element, meekness and submission on the part of the wife. So on the husband's part, love. On the bride's part, submission. The husband should love marvelously. Should have the love of delight and complacency in his wife. He should enjoy his wife's company and care for her presence. A delight in it. There is that love of delight and complacency. But there is, of course, the love of bounty as well, the love of curing and benefiting the wife. And then on her part, love too. But her love will be manifested in just an appreciative, meek subjection to a caring and understanding man. This is the ideal marriage. But congregation, let me close with this statement. The perfect marriage does not exist. Just as no Christian is sinlessly perfect, so neither is any marriage. We all have to confess the sins in our marriages. We all have to mourn our failures, that we have not loved as Christ loved, and that we have not submitted as Christ submitted. We have to mourn our failures today too, as we look at these verses. They are very high, these texts. They are hard to attain unto. And so the word humbles us, and we have to mourn our failures. And husbands and wives, they have to confess their faults to one another, as the Bible tells us to do so. There's many a confession to be made in a Christian marriage. Confessing faults to one another and just saying sorry. I was a bit quick there. I shouldn't have said that. Whatever. So many things we have to apologize for. We just have to say sorry. Because we're still sinners. And we still depend on the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. And we have to not only say sorry, but we also have to forgive one another and be melted by the confession and by the apology. And to realize that in that confession, there is love. Let us then forgive one another as Christ forgived us. Even so should we do. And we should pray for grace to be better husbands and to be better wives. And may the Lord help us. To him then who rules and reigns in heaven with all loving kindness, to him may we be given grace to submit. And to him be glory evermore. Amen.